Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
By the end of next Tuesday, voting in the midterm elections will have ended. The dust will clear around high-stakes Senate, House, and gubernatorial races. And states will also know whether people voted to give more money to their local libraries or ban or support abortion rights in their state. These are the ballot questions, the statewide proposals that can become new laws or constitutional amendments. This year, there are 132 of them, some just the business of running a state. Georgians are being asked whether timber equipment owned by timber producers should be exempt from certain property rights, or it's property taxes, rather. Some are very divisive, lots about voting. Ryan Byrne is the managing editor for the ballot measures team at Ballotpedia. They join us every year. Ryan, hello.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here. And not surprisingly, the top theme of ballot questions is abortion. Now, yesterday we looked at Kentucky's question that would prohibit the state constitution from allowing any abortion rights. Tell us more about state abortion questions.
Right. So there are five abortion-related measures on the November ballot. Earlier in August, Kansas also had a measure on the ballot, which some people may recall.
Right.
So that's six abortion-related measures in 2022. It's the most on record for a single year. First, let's discuss Montana, where voters will decide on a proposal called the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, which says that infants born alive, including infants born alive after an abortion, are legal persons, and medical providers must provide care.
Yeah.
You know, at the federal level, there's a similar law on the books, which Congress passed in 2002. In the other four states, the measures address state constitutional rights. This is important given the context. Post-Dobbs, abortion is largely regulated at the state level. Three states, California, Vermont, and Michigan, will be voting on amendments to provide for state constitutional rights to abortion. Michigan Proposal 3 in particular has received a lot of attention for a few reasons. Perhaps the biggest one being that Michigan is a divided government with a competitive governor's race this year. So Proposal 3 as a state constitutional amendment would create a constitutional right that statutes cannot overturn. And you mentioned Kentucky. So that's the last amendment I want to touch on, Kentucky Amendment 2, which would provide that courts cannot interpret the Constitution as providing a right to abortion. So in other words, Amendment 2 would preempt future court rulings of that nature.
Right.
This is similar to an amendment in Kansas, which 59% of voters rejected back in August.
Right.
So overall, how people vote on these amendments will affect abortion policy in their respective states. And the outcomes could also very much affect discussions that we see at the national level.
Right. I just want to take up a second Montana, which is saying that fetuses that are born through a failed abortion have to be kept alive by medical personnel. Montana already has laws against infanticide, and we're seeing reporting in Montana, you know, parents who've had infants born with terrible fatal impairments. One couple is appearing with opponents on this question, talking about how it would have broken their hearts and broken their infant's body even more than it already was broken by this fatal impairment, to have IVs and chest compressions to try to keep her alive. This seems to be quite the question in Montana.
Right, and that's a good example of a lot of this comes down to, like, right, how is this language going to be interpreted via the judicial system, via practical actions by the state or by doctors themselves.
Yeah. Let's take a look at whether marijuana should be legal. That question is back on the ballot this year. The difference now, you tell us, it's in states that traditionally vote Republican. Remind us about that.
Right. So it's been a decade since Colorado and Washington were the first states to approve marijuana legalization initiatives. And since then, nine other states and D.C. have also approved initiatives. So the marijuana legalization movement has largely been successful at using ballot initiatives. But these were primarily Democratic-leaning states, like the West Coast and New England states, or some that, you know, have been more competitive between the parties in recent years, like Arizona and Michigan. And there's been some exceptions, Alaska, Montana. But this year, legalization supporters have initiatives on the ballot in both of the Dakotas, Missouri, and Arkansas. So these are all states that have voted Republican in the past couple presidential elections, as well as typically have Republican-controlled executive and legislative branches. So the outcomes of these initiatives this year could very much set a course for how federal officials interpret where the country stands.
Yeah.
One exception is Maryland. So Maryland is also voting on marijuana legalization this year. And unlike these other measures, which were put on the ballot by people collecting signatures, in Maryland, the legislature voted to put the issue on the ballot for voters to decide.
Yeah. I want to take a look at ballot questions related to voting. I'll tick off a couple. Arizona and Nebraska voting on measures to require or strengthen voter IDs. In Ohio, voters are voting on banning non-citizens from voting. Michigan, Proposal 2 adds a bunch of voting policies as rights to their constitution, requiring the number of days for early voting, paying for prepaid stamps for mail-in votes, contentious because this adds things to the constitution and opponents are saying you can't change that afterward. Flesh that out. You've got Nevada and Connecticut left.
Right. So election policy is a big issue this year, and you already hit it on several of them. So Nevada is an interesting one, right? So there's question 3. Some of our listeners may recall the Alaska U.S. House special election in August. So in Alaska, voters used a top 4 primary system in which everyone, regardless of party affiliation, ran in the same primary, and the top 4 vote recipients moved to the general election. Well, one dropped out, but that's a different story. Then in the general election, voters used a system called ranked choice voting to rank those 4 candidates. Nevada question 3 is similar, but instead of a top 4 primary, question 3 would adopt a top 5 primary. Ranked choice voting would be used in the general election as well. So some supporters have given this a fun nickname. They call it Final 5 voting.
Okay. Let's take a look at something that's really surprising to see. I mean, it's just surprising to see it as a ballot question, which is people are asking whether or not to take the slavery and indentured servitude out of their constitutions. Utah is asking voters whether to prohibit slavery and indentured servitude in the state constitution. But some states are tying that question to the criminal justice system and prison work. Explain that.
Right. So heading into this election, 20 state constitutions actually include language allowing slavery or servitude as criminal punishments or debt payments. Voters in Alabama, Louisiana, Oregon, Tennessee, and Vermont will be deciding on amendments this year. So as you said, some of these amendments do include language saying that prohibition cannot be interpreted to prevent inmates from being required to work. And that's really what the debate is about these amendments. Are these amendments largely symbolic, you know, repealing language from the post-Civil War, the Reconstruction periods, or could these actually have practical implications for prisoners and the criminal justice system? So some legislators have included language to specifically state that.
Right.
These cannot be interpreted as such.
And that sometimes happens with these ballot questions. Somebody suddenly realized, oops, we have this thing, you know, which we want to try to get rid of, and they do it through a ballot question. Real quick, we only have a minute and a half, but the millionaire's tax, this is on a ballot in Massachusetts and California. In Massachusetts, it's whether people would pay taxes on income of over $1 million a year. In California, it's over $2 million a year. Proponents love the idea that this extra revenue would go to things like in Massachusetts, building roads. But opponents are saying, wait a minute, somebody who sells a house, who's never made $1 million, they sell a house and they then get penalized for that if the value of the house has gone up. But why is Lyft pouring money into this in California?
So why is Lyft funding the one in California?
Yeah,
that's a good question. So Lyft is the primary donor behind the campaign for the initiative in California. So revenue from this new tax would go towards zero emission vehicle subsidies and infrastructure, as well as some wildfire prevention. So supporters like Lyft say this new funding stream will help California reduce carbon emissions and transition to electric vehicles. And now opponents, which include the state Republican Party, but also Governor Gavin Newsom, are saying the revenue is a special interest carve-out that will help Lyft meet certain goals.
Okay, there's much more, 100 more. But Ryan Byrne, managing editor for the Ballot Measures team at Ballotpedia, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we'll tell you how it all worked out next Wednesday.